Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the washboard division here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, a few weeks ago, we put out a call to all physics bubbas in our audience to help us figure out the best way to drive over a washboard road. You know, the washboard road is a dirt road that has ripples in it. And we got a ton of responses.
Literally a ton.
Most of it via email at
cartalk.com. And I've been looking through all this mail, and if you notice here, I have separated
segregated it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 categories. 721 pieces of mail in each category. First of all, there's a bunch of people who actually speak from experience.
Well, we wanted physicists.
Well, we'll get to that. I mean, a bunch of people who speak from experience saying that they have done this, and high speed is the answer.
Well, that was my position, of course. You remember.
There's one guy here from Kenya. I can't find his letter now, but he says that he's had much experience driving thousands of miles, and every road is just like this, and the guys who drive, they do like 40, 50 miles an hour, and that's just sort of hovering.
Just glide over the tops. Just kiss the tops.
Right. Just kiss the tops. So we got one school of thought that does that. Then, woof, we got some guys who wrote stuff here. Here it is. Here's one. This is Peter Zimmerman from somewhere. This is a response to your washboard road problem. You guys approached it wrong because you forgot that a car is not a rigid platform with four wheels. In fact, the cab is suspended on springs above the chassis with the wheels in motion all being damped by misnamed shock absorbers. Blah, blah, blah. Get this. The system is a damped driven harmonic oscillator with the frequency determined by the wavelength between successive ripples, lambda, and the speed given by the average horizontal speed of the car.
I remember that from 802.
The oscillation frequency, nu, is derived from lambda times nu equals c, so the frequency is speed of car divided by spacing of washboards.
Well, he's obviously never driven on a washboard road. We were looking.
No, he gives you. You wanted physicists, man.
He's too theoretical.
This is a theoretical approach. Okay. Then we have one guy who's. Is this guy? Oh, he says you talked about the slow roll theory, and the riding the ripples theory, but you have obviously never encountered the unified theory. And the unified theory says that you have to, I'll read it down here. Even the most masterful drivers struggle to sustain this indefinable balance known as the zone.
Zone, right?
You must become one with the road. Speed should be regulated according to the frequency produced by the rattling of your bones. See, that's the unified theory. That's good. But no, the best advice comes from both David Hunt and John Moonen, who both basically say, it's true that you can do this, but don't forget that 90% of the time, your wheels aren't touching anything.
Oh, 98% of the time.
So you not only have no ability to stop, but you also have no ability to steer. And so you may do it smoothly for a few moments, and then bingo, the tree.
Well, I didn't think that was one of the constraints. Steering didn't enter
if we
into
assume
my thinking.
That there's no tree.
Yeah, that it's just
and
a
there's
wide,
no ditch. It's just a wide open
road,
salt flats.
You go into a cornfield.
Yeah. Well, that's it then. So next time you're driving the Colt Vista and you encounter one of these roads, you see how many pieces fall off. Give it a try. But this, I tell you, this was a ton of response. A ton.
By the way, that was
1,800 pounds.
That was very good. Very well organized, too, I might add.
Oh, you see me. You think I'm just sitting here doing nothing?
Anyway, if you have any washboard road theories or just want some car advice, you can give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Helen from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Helen.
How are you?
Salt
Lake City.
Tell me, I've been to Salt Lake City. It didn't seem like there was a whole lot going on. I mean,
that's a rumor.
I don't mean it in a bad way.
Yeah. You know, you're right. There isn't much going on downtown, at least during the weekend. But it's starting to snow here right now.
Sounds like a great place. No, I will admit, however, that I felt very safe in Salt Lake City.
Yes, it is a very safe city.
Yeah, there's nobody there. That's why. Anyway.
Except for the snow. Everything else is safe.
That's right.
Snowing. So what's on your mind?
Well, I've got a 94 Toyota 4x4, and I recently moved out here to Salt Lake City from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And when I got out here, I noticed that my gas mileage had improved dramatically. I was getting an extra 100 miles per tank. I thought this was great. 2 months after I lived here, I got all four tires changed. And I lost all my extra miles. I lost 60 of those extra miles, and I want to get those miles back. How do I do that?
What do you think? Someone kidnapped them? Are you willing to pay the ransom or what? So you went, how many miles were you getting to the tank in Milwaukee?
In Milwaukee, I was getting 300, and out here I'm getting, well, I was getting 400, and now I'm getting 338.
No kidding.
How would you know this?
How do I know this?
Well, yeah.
Well, I use the tripometer, and I reset it every time I fill up the tank.
Ah, but getting miles to the tank is not a very accurate measure. You really have to measure miles per gallon.
But it's an extra 100 miles. Isn't that enough?
How do you know it's an extra 100 miles?
Well, it says.
How many gallons is it?
Oh, it's 18 gallons.
But you get 18. In other words, every time you need gas, you've run it out and they've pushed you to the gas station. And you're filling up the tank and it's taking 18 gallons. What I'm trying to get at is a much more accurate way to measure this is miles per gallon.
I guess you're right. Okay.
Yeah, and what I suspect is going on is the gas gauge is behaving inaccurately.
You're kidding, really?
That's what I think. But the absolute way to verify your mileage is to fill the tank up, set your odometer, drive until the tank needs gas again, whatever that may be, and then read the number on your trip odometer and divide that by the number of gallons that you bought.
Okay.
And you will get miles per gallon.
I mean, how many times did you experience the 300 gallons per tank full and the 400 gallon?
And were you driving anywhere near Hangar 18?
No, I'm not.
I mean, are we talking about like a one-time measurement?
No,
300
not at
miles
all.
Per tank, or did you do 20 tank fulls?
I did a year and a half of tank fulls in Milwaukee. And then
how many in Salt Lake City at the 400?
At the 400 was only, probably between 4 and 5 before I got
the
tires.
See, that could be move euphoria.
Euphoria.
Yeah, it's a little known phenomenon that occurs.
What is it?
Oh,
well,
I don't know what it is. I just named it.
I mean, what it would mean would be that somehow, for some subconscious reason, when you moved to Salt Lake City, you just said that it's a safe place, right? My brother said he felt safe in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I did.
Feeling safer. You subconsciously waited longer to get gas. When the needle got down to empty, you said, so what? I mean, if I ran out of gas, some wonderful Salt Lake City person, Utahan, will come by and give me a kiss on the cheek and tell take me anywhere.
And they would, too.
And they would, because they're such wonderful, sweet people. And so subconsciously, you didn't worry about running out of gas as you did in that sleazeball city of Milwaukee.
Where they'd knife you for a beer.
And
we're not on in Milwaukee, are we?
Not anymore.
You were on in Milwaukee. I used to listen to you out there.
And so what happened is you put more gas in subconsciously since you moved to Salt Lake City.
Okay.
I hate to do this because it does damage my credibility, but I have to agree with my brother.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so I'm safer here, therefore I'm using less gas.
That's right.
You're safer, therefore you are.
Yeah.
And I would use the miles per gallon method that I described earlier.
I will.
That's foolproof.
Yeah, that is.
Of course, having more air in your tires could improve your mileage, too. You know, if you had very overinflated tires, that would improve your mileage. But I don't know if it would improve it that much.
Well, that's what I thought would happen, because I was basically at sea level in Milwaukee, and I towed it out here on a flatbed. And
oh, you didn't tell us about the flatbed.
I didn't know that was important.
Now, don't you know about the effects of gas mileage on flatbeds?
No, I don't.
Oh, come on, Helen. You're wasting our time.
Oh,
read up on
to.
It and call us back later. Come on. I'm sick of this. These uneducated callers. Come on. Hey, Helen, thanks a million. It's great talking to you.
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy your stay in Salt Lake City, however long it may be. Okay. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Henry Randolph calling from Bossier City, Louisiana.
Henry.
Uh-huh.
And what's the city?
Bossier City. It's Shreveport, Bossier City, Louisiana.
Bossier City?
Bossier City.
How would you spell Bossier?
B-O-S-S-I-E-R.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you guys don't know that.
Bossier City.
And it's near where?
Right next door to Shreveport.
Oh, it is.
Well, our Car Talk intern happens to be a Louisiana.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, she is, and she speaks very highly of her home state.
The former Miss Louisiana. You may know her.
Well, I've only been here a couple of years myself, recently retired from the Air Force.
Oh.
Well, you wouldn't know her.
You wouldn't know her. She's much older than that. She was Miss Louisiana in 1915.
Is that right?
So what's up, Henry?
I've got a 88 Ford Thunderbird, a 2.3-liter turbo coupe.
Mm-hmm.
The indication from my temperature gauge is that the car is overheating, but the car never seems to do it. Periodically, both the temperature gauge and the oil pressure gauge will both peg out, and they'll return to their normal positions by themselves. Now, me being the old shade tree mechanic that I am, I thought it might be a bad ground, dirty connections. I even replaced the instrument voltage regulator behind the dash twice.
Ooh, you did? Excellent. Oh, jeez, Henry. That was my answer.
Well, I can't seem to put my finger on what the problem is. I also replaced the ammeter since I was back there.
Yeah.
Because when I turned my lights on without the car started, the gauge wouldn't indicate it was discharged, and so I thought maybe the gauge was bad.
So you replaced the ammeter.
I sure did.
But you didn't replace the temperature and the oil gauges.
I replaced both.
You replaced those two and the voltage regulator
for the instrument cluster. Right, I knew the oil pressure gauge was bad. I knew that from the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
And I assume that you've done the normal stuff like replace the thermostat. And...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thermostat. Mm-hmm. You know, when I bought the car used a couple of years ago, and I went through the process of replacing everything that had to do with the cooling system, the water pump, the thermostat, new hoses.
What a guy. See, now, you're the kind of guy... The car will be good to you because you are good to it.
I try.
Some people just buy it and drive it, and they don't care what's under there. They don't want to know. They don't fix anything until it won't work anymore.
Yeah, we love them.
Oh, I agree with you that the car is not overheating.
Well, I don't agree with you.
Ah, it's not overheating.
I don't agree. Here's what I was going to suggest, because I know it's within Henry's grasp.
Yeah.
You are a very good shade tree mechanic, obviously. What I'm going to suggest you do is you buy an additional temperature gauge.
Okay.
Okay, and you mount it under the dash, and what you're going to have to do is put a T connector on the block or on the cylinder head. I think your temperature gauge is located on the cylinder head, the sending unit. You're going to T this thing so that you can have hot water going to the factory supply TSU and the new one.
Okay.
Okay, and then you're going to be sending two signals to the dashboard, one to the dashboard gauge and one to your new gauge. And when the dashboard one pegs out, you're going to see if the thing really is overheating. If the other one's pegged out, then you have a problem.
Right.
And you probably have a blown head gasket or a cracked block.
But I don't think you'd... Henry, don't relax, Henry.
I think my brother is wrong
on this one. He's wrong. I don't think it's overheating at all.
Okay, Smarty Pants, what is it?
I don't know what's wrong with it.
I'm turning to you for the answer.
From his description, I conclude it is not overheating.
We know that.
The problem.
You've already made it clear that you don't think it's overheating.
Is a bad ground somewhere.
Somewhere like where? Montana?
All the ground in Montana is bad. I don't know where it is. I have to say, gauges have always been a mystery to me.
Yeah, they are devilish little things. That electromagnetism is elusive, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I think that it may not be overheating, but I want you to verify.
Uh-huh.
And are you willing to do this?
Oh, yeah.
Sure,
yeah,
he'll do it, and he'll find out that, in fact, one gauge says normal, the other one is bad.
Well, this will give me an opportunity. It'll give Henry an opportunity to find out that it's not overheating, and
give
me an opportunity
to
research and find a better answer for Henry. Anything else malfunction?
No. Other than, like I said, when I turn on the lights, my ammeter should show that it's discharging, but it doesn't. And I've got a new ammeter.
Oh, really? So you turn the lights on without the engine running?
Without the engine running, right.
And the ammeter doesn't move at all?
It doesn't move at all.
Right. Yeah. Huh?
And that's a new ammeter.
Yeah. I mean, if it were my car, Henry,
he would tape up those gauges.
I wouldn't pay any attention to this at all. I would let those gauges.
This is gnawing away at Henry. It's driving him nuts.
You know why? Because he's retired and he's got nothing better to do.
Is that true, Henry?
Well, I have little to do. I have a few things, but very little.
One of them is working on your car, right?
That's right.
But I've never had a car to stump me like this.
Maybe before you go ahead and put that other gauge in, you might want to try getting a used printed circuit board.
I would do that.
I would try that,
too. I would go to the junkyard and ask him for that whole instrument cluster.
Right.
And just plug the baby right in.
Yeah, for $10 or $20, you can buy the whole thing.
Right. And plug that baby right in, and you will not have this problem anymore.
Hmm.
I'm convinced it's in the readings here. There's nothing wrong with this car.
But if not, you have a crack block.
Yeah, I like this idea. Go to the junkyard, buy the whole instrument cluster.
Oh, okay, then. I should be able to find one. That shouldn't be a problem to test it out.
Good luck, Henry.
I appreciate it.
Nice talking to you.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, look, I know you don't remember last week's puzzler, but I'm going to give you one hint, and I know you're going to get it.
Okay, go for it. Give me the hint.
It's the type of puzzler that I haven't done in a very long time.
Oh, I got it. It was a good puzzler.
I wouldn't go that far. No, it was an automotive puzzler, and we'll have the answer along with more of your calls in a minute, so please stay tuned.
Somewhere along the way, she got herself a name. I don't know who named her, but I call her the same. Sally, a sheet metal cast iron star. Well, the brakes are kind of maybe, the lights are just a flicker. Start her in the morning, it helps if you kick her. The radiator's crooked, but the gas gauge works. The clutch pedal shatters and the gear shift jerks. Well, the rumble seat is padded with a sleeping bag. The fender's all rattled and the floorboards sag. The steering's wobbly and the leaf spring squeaks. And the generator hums and the water pump leaks. Drip, drip, drip. But she's a star.
Yes. And even though the Higgs boson physicists smash their Nobel Prize into really tiny particles whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Is this the one about the guy on the bicycle in Sherlock Holmes?
That was great, wasn't it?
Whew, man.
No, this is an automotive puzzler. It was the return of an endangered species, I think.
I don't remember.
It was submitted by Jeff Matthews, who's in the Army somewhere. I don't know where he is. Anyway, he wrote, some years ago, my wife complained that her Honda Accord would occasionally start bucking, snorting, and choking when she came to a stop. It would keep that up for a couple of minutes, then the problem would go away, and sometimes not return for weeks. I looked at the usual things, but since I was never there when it happened and it wasn't my car anyway, I didn't really care. Did he say that?
I wouldn't quote him directly if he did.
No,
because all you can do is get a guy into trouble with his wife.
I've taken some license here, Jeff. So
yeah, I mean, we're in enough trouble with our wives as it is,
including Jeff. Then one fall, he says, I was getting the car ready for the state safety inspection, so I jacked it up, jiggled the wheels, and did all the things you usually do. And when I let it down off the jack stands, a nearly empty can of brake fluid rolled out from under the front seat. I said, that's interesting. I went into the house and asked my wife one question.
Yeah.
It was not, what's the neighbor's brake fluid doing in your car? I asked her one question, and when she gave me the answer, I knew what was wrong with her car.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Mm.
And the question was,
good.
How often
do you replace
brake fluid?
Yeah.
And the reason he asked that question was this. Somewhere along the line, he surmises,
I've got it.
She went to the gas station and her brake light was on because the fluid level was down.
Mm-hmm.
She buys a can of fluid from the attendant and watches him fill up the reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking this is part of the regular maintenance of the car, whenever the light goes on, she tops it up, never bothering to ask, where's the brake fluid going? It's like, well, you add oil from time to time.
Sure.
It's not unusual to add brake fluid from time to time.
Yeah.
And as such, she had this can under the seat. It may have been one of many cans that she used. And she was constantly adding brake fluid to a leaking master cylinder. And the master cylinder was leaking into
the booster,
the power brake booster. And every once in a while, when she came to a stop, especially an abrupt one, or if the level of fluid in there, where it's not, where there's not supposed to be any, was high enough, that fluid would get sucked into the engine and make the thing try to combust the brake fluid, which would cause it to stumble and choke and maybe even stall. And then once it worked its way through, accompanied by this belch of smoke out the tailpipe,
ran like a dream.
Everything would be right. And the subsequent stops wouldn't be a problem because she'd have to wait until enough fluid accumulated in the booster to cause the problem again.
Oh, man.
So the question was, how often do you add brake fluid to the car?
Yeah.
So who's our winner?
Nathaniel Myers from Berkeley, California. Probably some aging hippie sitting there on the streets of Berkeley selling beads. And now...
Yeah, don't you wish that were you?
Don't I know? And now he's going to win a $25 gift certificate for the store at cartalk.com, with which he can get a CarTalk disappearing hairline cover-up kit, also known as the embroidered CarTalk baseball cap.
Anyway, we'll have an interesting little puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. You notice I didn't say no because it isn't.
Not going to be no.
Exactly, no.
That's all right.
But stick around. You might like it. Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1888-2278-255. Hello, you're on CarTalk.
How many possible ways are there to say this?
Lots
number?
More. You'll see. Hello.
Hi, guys. This is Dave Appel. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Dave.
Dave from Denver. What's up, Dave from Denver?
I got a question for you. The car in question is a 96 Nissan Maxima. Mm-hmm. And it's my girlfriend's car. And I'm shopping around for snow tires for this thing. Every place that I went to said they refuse to sell me two.
Right.
They'll only sell me four.
Right.
Is there something to this, or is this just a ploy to get me to buy four tires when I really only need two?
I wish I knew the answer to that.
Well, I think the rationale behind the four is that they don't want to compromise the handling of the car by selling you two tires that are designed for snow only.
Right.
And leave the other two tires on the car. If they're going to compromise the handling, they want to compromise it for all four wheels equally.
And where would you put the two?
The two would go...
You put them in the front.
On the front, right. And what they're saying is because of the ABS, it would make it so the front would grab a lot more than the back, and the back end would swing around.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just because of the ABS. I mean...
No, in fact, the ABS is supposed to prevent that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but what happens is if the front wheels have much better traction than the rear ones, then the back end is going to come around if you go into a skid.
So it is legitimate.
I think it's legitimate.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you go around a curve and the front wheels have great traction and they go right around that curve,
mm-hmm.
the back wheels have worse traction, and so they go... Where? Sideways.
Sideways, yeah.
And all of a sudden, the back end of the car is in front of you. How does that happen?
I don't know, but I tell you, it's really scary when it does.
Yeah, so four is the only reasonable answer.
Okay.
So I don't think they're trying to sell you tires that you don't need. They are trying to sell you tires that you do need.
Or
one. Or none. Or kitty corner.
Oh, diagonal. You know, it's thinking like this that really kept my brother out of all the finer institutions of higher learning.
How would that work?
We don't know. That's
that might be interesting,
I'm
you know?
I'm going to try that.
Oh, come on, Dave. You haven't got... Never mind.
That could be interesting. I may have stumbled upon something.
And you might as well buy four wheels, too.
Somebody did tell me that to make it easy just to kind of pop them on and pop them off.
Exactly. And while you're there, you might as well have them install a trailer hitch.
Ever thought about fishing?
Well, have them install a trailer hitch while you're there, because you might want to go fishing in the mountains this summer, and you'll need a boat, right?
Well, that's just that this car doesn't really leave the city very much.
Do you have a boat?
No, I don't.
Oh, you need one.
Sounds like somebody else needs one.
Yeah, we do, too. Good luck. Good luck, Dave.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
1-888-CAR-TALK.
You don't like the diagonal idea?
Of course, I love it.
It At first blush, it sounds stupid.
But you know what?
At second blush,
further examination,
it still sounds stupid. Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to order snow chains for the bicycle?
No, it's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we bring back a previous caller to see if the advice we gave was insightful.
Or inciting. So who's our contestant this week, Tommy?
Well, the little card here says it's Pam from Amherst, Virginia. You remember Pam?
No, I don't, but I'm going to, yeah.
Here's what it says. Pam called because her 88 Volvo wouldn't quit smoking.
I mean, it pours out.
It pours out from under the hood?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I like that.
Well, I got stopped by a police officer one day, and he asked me, did I realize my car is smoking? I looked at him dumbfounded, and I said, well, yes, I see the smoke pouring out. So then he said to me, were you speeding? And I said, no, sir. He said, you must be because your car is smoking. And I said, my husband smokes, and he doesn't speed anywhere. He didn't find that humorous, and I got a ticket.
Imagine if we got a ticket every time we told a joke that bombed like that.
So what do we think was making Pam's Volvo smoke? I don't remember.
I have no idea. We said that if she was lucky and had led a good, clean life, that it could be a nice, inexpensive, leaky valve cover gasket. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
But if she'd been bad, and I mean, we already caught her lying to the police, then it could be a blown rear main seal. I remember this.
Two answers, so we're doubling our chances of getting it right. If we miss one, then never mind. Let's see how we did. Pam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, look, before we find out if you've been naughty or nice or just misguided in calling us, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
No, sir, we haven't.
And is it true that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or by the 12-by-15-foot Nicorette patch / car cover that we sent for your Volvo?
No, sir, you haven't.
Anyway, Pam, what was it?
Okay, it wasn't what you said.
Oh.
It was which I'm so glad because it was so cheap to fix. It was the flame shield.
The flame trap.
The flame trap. Why didn't you tell her that?
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. The flame trap was causing the rear main seal to leak.
No, the main seal wasn't leaking.
Where was the oil coming out of?
It wasn't coming out. What happened was in the crankshaft, there's a screen. He said that it was plugged, and what was happening was it was caught not letting the oil to get through all of it, so it was causing it to smoke. It was burning it off?
No.
That doesn't make sense.
No, I'll tell you, we were remiss in not recommending or suggesting that it could be a plugged flame trap. But the flame trap is responsible for ventilating the crankcase.
Right.
And when it gets plugged up and the crankcase can't get ventilated in the normal manner, pressure builds up. And when that pressure builds up, it will make the thing leak through one or more of the seals, like the rear main seal. See, I didn't think it was necessary to go to that other step.
Well, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, and the answer that he gave, that you're giving us, doesn't make sense because the flame trap by itself
can't
smoke. It can't smoke.
I just want you to know, Pam.
I was with you all the way, man.
You did your best. I just want you to know, Pam, that our salary is dependent upon the percentage of correct answers we get every year.
But
and this is the only way that...
Salary? You get a salary?
My salary is dependent... And this is the only way that NPR...
You never told me that someone was paying us.
Shut up! It's the only way that NPR has to judge whether or not we're giving out proper, information every week.
And
you can understand why we're questioning your veracity here.
And why we're fighting with you.
Yeah, we're fighting for every inch.
No, we're going to give it to you.
Yeah.
But you're losing by an inch, too, because the rear main seal wasn't leaking.
All right already. We're uncle. We give.
Hey, Pam, thanks for being a good sport. I wish my brother was.
See you, Pam.
see you.
Bye. Look, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, you can
long as the name's not Pam.
Right. You can email us your suggestion from cartalk.com, or you can stump us right now.
I think we have to protest that last one. I mean, I think in a court of law we would have
to.
Oh,
I've already started filing the grievance. Anyway, you can call us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8252-5252.
Hello,
you're on
CAR-TALK. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Catherine. I love your show.
Catherine with a C?
The C. Oh, that's right. Wait, I always say that. With a C.
You must be from Baltimore.
No, I am not.
I didn't think so.
I'm from Lakewood, New Jersey.
Lakewood?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
Oh. So, what's up, Catherine?
Okay, I have a Chevy Celebrity, 1986.
Mm.
And I get a little boom, boom every so often when I'm driving.
Boom, boom.
Yes. I went to my mechanic and he said he can't do anything unless it's constant, and it's not constant.
Yeah.
I step on the gas.
Yeah.
And then it goes boom, boom, and then it goes smoothly.
Does it sound like an explosion?
Yes.
Boom, boom?
Yeah.
Does the performance of the car, is the performance of the car altered in any way when it does this boom, boom?
Maybe slightly sluggish, but then it smooths out.
And is it more likely to do this when the engine is cold? As opposed to when it's...
No.
First thing in the morning?
Cold and warm.
It does it cold and warm, but when you're accelerating.
Mm-hmm, a bit, yes.
Hmm.
I stumped you.
No. No.
We've already had our share of stumps today. Thank you. We're going to come up with an answer if it kills us.
Oh, I hope so. I've been waiting a long time for this.
and he's driven it and he hasn't experienced the boom-booms?
Who he?
Your mechanic.
No, he hasn't.
Well, he hasn't driven it.
No, he hasn't.
And how, oh, he's just listening to you about it.
That's right.
How often does it do it?
Most of the time when I do go out to drive.
So every day, pretty much?
Yes.
So if he had the car for a day and he drove it, it's likely that he would hear it, too.
Possibly. I hate to leave it, though. I'm lost without my car.
Take his car. Take his Lincoln.
Okay.
I mean, you could leave in the car for a few days.
You do advise that, then.
Oh, you have to. Oh. I mean, it sounds like a backfire.
It does to me, too.
Or front fire, whatever the case may be.
It sounds like it's backfiring through the carburetor. You must have a V6 engine with a carburetor.
Correct.
Okay. Mm. And I think it's probably backfiring through the carburetor.
Oh.
And because you may have a weak accelerator pump. And I'm going to guess, but you'll feel free to contradict me.
No,
everyone
no.
else does. That it's more likely to do it if you accelerate hard.
No, I try to do it smoothly.
No.
Wow.
Hey, he left himself open, Catherine. He said, feel free to contradict me.
Well, I mean, it still could be backfiring through the carburetor, or you could have a bad motor mount, for example. This has a motor mount that runs to the... motor mount. That has a thing that looks like a dog bone that attaches to the top of the engine and goes to the...
That thing.
It bolts to the frame near the radiator. And it could be that's broken, and that could cause a boom-boom when you accelerate. But it would probably do it every single time. Or it could be the exhaust hitting the undercarriage. And it could be that when you're turning, it's more likely to do it because, again, you could have a broken motor mount or a loose exhaust pipe.
Oh.
You have a guy that you've gone to for oil changes and the like over the years.
Yeah.
Is this close to your home?
Yes.
Why don't you ask him to take you for a test drive in your car and drop you off at the house?
Mm.
Uh-huh.
During which time he can hear the boom-boom. He'll have plenty of time to listen to it, to formulate an opinion, to work up an estimate, to check out your credit rating at the bank. And then he can affect the repair after he's dropped you off at home. And when he's done, ask him if he'd be nice enough to come and pick you up.
Okay.
Sure.
I shall do this.
All right.
Good luck,
and
Catherine.
I want to thank you very much.
And thanks a lot.
We expect the full report in writing on our desk.
You got it.
See you, Catherine.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, as you're concerned, younger brother, I got to ask you, man, you look like you've been dragging lately. Tired and worn out. You all right?
Me, I feel great. I've been riding my bike to the office, bounding up the stairs two at a time, walking all over the city. I'm in my prime, man. I have never, never felt better. Why did you ask?
Great. And you got exactly a minute to run down to the corner and get coffee and two donuts.
I've been had.
We'll be back with the puzzler in just a minute. Come on, get going. Time's wasted.
Wondrous car of iron and steel that rolleth swift on gilded wheel. Deliver me through town and field. Don't sit there like a rock. Oh, wouldst thou have me walk, O car? Oh, wouldst thou?
And even though the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria all tack and head east when they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. But it really isn't a new puzzler. It's a puzzler I used ages and ages ago. But since we've lost so many listeners over the years and presumably gained replacements, I thought that it would be an opportunity to...
We haven't gained any replacements.
Maybe a couple? To sneak in?
No, but the ones we have retained have lost their memories.
Like
that's
us.
The good part.
Well, I didn't remember if I had actually used this one before, but I'm going to use it because it segues beautifully into next week's puzzler.
Oh.
I think. So I think it's appropriate that I use it because
that's
otherwise
interesting.
I'd have
reason.
No excuse for trying to sneak in a puzzler.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very creative reason.
Here it is. A girl and her mother are out shopping one day, and they're in a store, and they overhear a conversation between a customer and a salesperson in the next aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And the customer asks, "How much does one cost?" And the answer is, 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about 12? Oh, that'll be $1.98.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in that case, I'll take 128. That'll be 297. And the question is, what kind of store are they in? And what is this person buying? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a postcard or chisel it into a pair of black diamond Cobra ice axes with carbon fiber shaft, stainless steel, pick and adds, and triple sewn adjustable padded wrist loops.
What
okay.
is it?
And send them to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. By the way, if anyone out there has any puzzles, feel free to send them by any means available.
Yeah, things are bad already, huh?
Well, no, I'm just thinking of the future, like next week.
You realize the puzzler has only been back from vacation for like 4 weeks, and you're already strapped.
No, no, I'm not. No, I'm just planning ahead.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, if you want to email your answer to us, you can do so from cartalk.com, and you can also send the puzzler that way, too.
Mm.
If you'd like to ask a question about your car or anything else, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Lisa in Berkeley, California.
Hi, Lisa.
Now, Berkeley, huh?
Well, this is, you know,
I wrote L-I-S-A, but it can't possibly be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you're in Berkeley, oh, wait a minute. Where did you move to Berkeley from?
Upstate New York.
And it's L-I-S-A.
You're right.
Yeah.
If you had been born there around Berkeley, it would have been L-Y-E-E-S-Y.
Or something even worse.
Something like that. Yeah. So what's up, Lisa?
Okay, so I have a 1991 Mazda 323.
Uh-huh.
The mechanics at the dealership told me I needed a new clutch, but they wanted to charge me $480 for it, and I had this mechanic down the street who said that they would do it for $360. And I remember you guys said a while ago on a show that it's really hard to mess up a clutch. So
No, I've messed them up.
Who said that? It wouldn't have been one of
there
us.
There we go. We're getting misquoted again.
Well, I've seen... That's how I interpreted what you said. You said that a clutch job wasn't that hard. So I said, well, they can't. I mean, it's unlikely they'll mess it up. And they did my brakes a while ago. They did a good job. I'll take them this car. So I take it in for the clutch job, and I come back for it. I'm supposed to pick it up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I go back, and I look through the little glass window, and there's three mechanics under the hood of my car. And it's going up and down and up and down on the rack. And it's up on the top, and they're running the thing, and I can hear the gears grinding as they throw it in and out of gear, right?
Yeah.
And they finally, they come into me and they say, okay, you have no hydraulic pressure. Yeah. And I say, uh-huh.
I thought I was feeling a little logy lately.
I said, that's funny, I used to.
Yeah.
And they said, well, if you have a broken seal cylinder, and they bring me in, they show it to me. They said, well, it was defective.
Yeah.
And also, it was the slave cylinder that was faulty.
Oh, yeah, that. Thanks.
Yeah,
okay. What he said.
I don't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
So I looked at that, and sure, it was broken. They said they were going to replace it. Call back at 5. I call back at 5. They say, okay, that didn't do it. You still have no hydraulic pressure, defective clutch altogether. We're going to have to put in a brand new one. They put in a brand new one, and they say, well, okay, so we're not going to charge you for that sleeve cylinder. And I said, that's good, because I wasn't planning on paying for it. And by the way, that clutch was defective. And they said, well, no, it was the wrong size.
Uh-huh.
So now I've got the car back. I take the car home, and it doesn't really drive very well, frankly. I mean, you go to put it in gear, and it doesn't grind. It'll go into gear, but it's very, very stiff. So I'm wondering, did they mess this up, or is this what a new clutch is supposed
to be
like?
It's so easy to mess up a clutch job.
I mean, it hardly ever happens, but when it does happen...
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
I mean, if they started off putting in the wrong clutch,
yeah,
that was a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they were dopes.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's been done before, and we've even done it many times, put in the wrong clutch.
Uh-huh.
But I think what happened in your case is when they realized they had to do the job all over again, they weren't making very much money on the job to begin with because they gave you a low ball price.
Yeah.
They were putting in probably a rebuilt clutch, but that's another story. We can discuss that some other time. Mm-hmm. But when they realized they had to do the job over again, they were angry, and they rushed through it the second time.
Uh-huh.
And they probably didn't bleed the thing correctly. So my guess is that the hydraulic system is airbound, and that's why you're having trouble shifting it.
Yeah, and you didn't need a slave cylinder, and you don't need a master cylinder.
Well, they took the slave cylinder out, but they had to put your old one back in, which means that they had to bleed the system again. And my guess is they didn't do it completely. If you go someplace else for $10, they'll bleed the clutch, get all the air out of it, and it'll be fine.
Wow, terrific.
Because if you don't have... If you have air, then you don't have the right pressure. So when you step on the clutch, disengaging the clutch, it isn't always disengaging all the way.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it's difficult getting into and out of gears. It's like trying to shift with your foot off the clutch, which, as you know, ain't easy to do.
Or halfway down.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think my brother's right.
But don't take it back to them. Take it someplace else.
No, you can go back to them if you'd like. I mean, if you're still on speaking terms with them.
Not exactly. Well, not quite.
Well, you should. I think it's time to mend those bridges.
Okay.
Go back.
I mean, they might be happy to see you. Who knows? I doubt it.
Bring them some brownies.
That's the way I yelled at them.
Yes, and go back and say, look, I yelled and screamed. I was upset. You guys screwed up. I lost my temper. I want to apologize. I want to make up. Here's some brownies. I hope you and the guys enjoy them.
And by the way, I can't get out.
By the way, this piece of junk doesn't work.
Right, and you know what brownies mean in Berkeley, so you got to be careful.
You
got to
be careful.
That one.
Yeah.
All right, no brownies.
No brownies.
No
cheesecake.
Brownies in Berkeley. Yeah, cheesecake. There you go. Frozen.
All right, well, thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck.
See you, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Keith from Roslindale.
Keith from Roslindale, Massachusetts?
Down the street from you guys.
Yeah.
I heard that Roslindale Square is undergoing a great rehabilitation and renaissance.
It is.
It is, huh?
You can actually buy food there now.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? What did you use to buy there?
Not much.
Pretty much nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was a dry cleaner there, and that was it.
Well,
and they called it Roslindale Square.
Everyone looked good, though. So what's going on, Keith?
Well, I have a Metro. And I'm driving around town with my Live Larger, Drive Smaller bumper sticker.
Yeah.
And the problem is that it has no AC. And this last summer, as you well know, it was hot.
It was hot, yeah.
So my question is...
No, the answer is don't even think about it.
Aftermarket AC.
No, don't even think about it.
No. I think you'd do better off... Going to, you know where Brookline Coal and Ice is?
Yes.
Yeah. You go there and buy yourself a block of ice every morning. And
and you put it right there in the passenger seat and turn on the fan.
Well, don't laugh.
Hey, that's how they used to do it in the old days.
I mean, that's how
I was a boy.
That's how your grandmother's ice box worked.
Yeah.
You know, but I think putting air conditioning in this, it wasn't even offered when you bought the car, was it?
Well, I bought it used. But you can buy them. With air
you combine with AC?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably can. Is this the three-cylinder or the four-cylinder?
Oh, this is the three.
The three. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Jeez, it's going to take you, yeah, it's going to take you a whole cylinder to run that AC.
Yeah.
So you won't be able to go anyplace. You can run it and sit in your driveway.
I would be very surprised if you could get the three-cylinder version with AC. There's no power there to do it.
Well, you know, you would be surprised. That thing really zips.
No, you know, because
it only weighs 500 pounds.
Well, and the fact of the matter is that it would have a wide open throttle switch so that when you floored the thing, the AC, like all cars, the AC would cut out. And you would get the full power of the engine. But don't forget, we shouldn't be making fun of Keith. We, in fact, are on a campaign to get more people to drive cars like this.
I think the Metro is one of the greatest cars of all time.
It is. And Keith realized that he doesn't need a huge car to get around and do the things he does every day.
Roslindale Square.
This car is perfectly adequate. And yeah. I think it's wonderful that you're driving this thing that gets probably 50 miles to the gallon.
Close to it, yeah.
Yeah. And if you smell bad during the day, people are going to have to just live with it.
Yeah, you're going to wear a sign that says, I smell bad, but I'm getting 50 miles per gallon. But I would think about the cake of ice.
Okay. Hey, I have another thing for you.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, you had you were talking about bogus. You had another definition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there's another one. I found this in my Oxford English Dictionary. It's a liquor made from rum and molasses.
Bogus.
Bogus.
No, I never. Really?
Yeah.
You have a copy of the OED?
I actually got a 1937 edition from the Brookline Library. They have their
the sale
every fall.
1937 edition.
Yeah.
Well, the real important words haven't changed since then.
That's true.
You know, you did a good thing. But bogus is a rum and molasses drink.
Yes.
Sounds great. Hey, Keith, thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Laura from New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Hi, Laura.
Laura, you're so perky.
I just got out of teaching a class full of energy.
What? How old were the little bastards?
They're graduate students.
Oh, how old
were
the little bastards?
So they might be older than me.
Graduate students? What do you teach, Laura?
Urban planning at Rutgers University.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking with a friend the other day. One of my brother's ex-brothers-in-law.
Yeah.
And we were lamenting the fact that all these courses that we took when we were in college, we never really learned. And that's one of the fields that I've always been interested in, urban planning.
Yeah.
And I think I took a course or two, but I don't remember anything. I remember it was about cities.
I teach environmental planning and a lot about kind of the underside of the city.
The dark underbelly.
Yeah. I learned from engineering, which I know at least one of you come from the engineering background, right?
We all do.
Okay.
Would that be?
All three.
Anyway, what are you doing calling us?
Well, I'm hoping you can help me with my problem. I'd like to blame it on the car, but I know it's partially me. All right. It's a 95 Civic.
College professor car.
Well, here it is. I keep leaving my lights on, and I come back, and the battery's dead. Very simple there. The problem is that the car doesn't have one of those little ding, ding, ding warning charms saying, Laura, you've left your lights on.
Yeah, because you bought the cheapest car you could find.
Exactly, because I was a grad student not too long ago.
Yeah.
So what I want to know, is there anything I can do, like an aftermarket thing to get one of these little ding, ding, ding things installed?
I'm sure we can come up with something. I don't know what it is.
You are, huh? Well, I would be willing to bet that somebody like J.C. Whitney
has it already.
Or Auto Palace or Pep Boys or somebody has on a shelf someplace just this kind of a device.
I mean, in the abstract, it's quite simple. If current is flowing to the headlights and current is not flowing to the ignition, you want this thing to energize. So it's a very simple circuit.
Well, look, you have an electrical engineering department there at Rutgers, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, you put this to them, and in 8-9 months, they'll have something for you.
Yeah, you'll have sold the car twice over by
that
time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a simple RC circuit here. I mean, this is not high-tech stuff. And
yeah.
They can make something that doesn't even have to be wired in. It can do it by induction.
Sure.
On the other hand, you could just reprogram Laura.
That's why I was saying it was my car, not me.
Yeah, no. You're too distracted. You have too much on your. You're too much on your plate.
Hmm.
But one of these days, you're gonna meet a real neat tow truck driver. Butch.
I think not.
Yeah, I can see the wedding cake now. Laura and Butch.
Hey,
Laura
I'm
and
open,
Bubba.
Okay.
Well, you could just make a deal with yourself. Well, I'll tell you one thing that's worked for customers of ours who have had the same problem is a yellow 3x5 card taped to the window so that as you're turning it out of the car, you see the thing that says, turn off the headlights, stupid. And you'll be surprised how that works.
I'll try that one. That sounds good.
But listen, go to the J.C. Whitney website, and I bet you they're going to have something.
Which is just jcwhitney.com.
It sure is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you might want to just give a call to a couple of parts stores around town. Give it to one of the graduate students to do. It's not something
credit.
For you to have to
extra,
do.
Exactly.
An extra credit project.
Yeah, find one of those kids who's flunking. Tell him this is the way he can save himself. Good luck, Laura.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've sublimated another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug.
Sublimated?
Sublimated. Just... Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, pumpkin list. Boy, he's been busy. Frogman Berman. Yeah. Our associate producers are David, the calves of Belleville Green, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug, the old gray mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Tappan Zee, Tapas Tapioca, and Tap Dance Triathlon, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard Before, and our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our meteorologist from the Seattle office is Wayne Goaway. Wayne, go away. Our practical joke specialist is Dietrich is Notalov. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our curator of Dionne Warwick studies is Isaiah Little Prayer. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the out-of-work philosopher kings in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And above all, don't drive like my brother.
And below all, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. We hope. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1341, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com. Also this week, get all the details on the Car Talk vehicle donation program, where you can donate your used car and benefit your station.
Any used car?
Well, the car has to be easily distinguishable from a compost heap, so your car's out of the running, you know.
Check out the Car Talk vehicle donation program at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Sandra Bullock thinks maybe being stranded in outer space isn't so bad whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.